Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
9:39, 21 before 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL. It's going to be a rainy day today. I don't know how else to put it. Showers on and off. We've already had a fair share this morning. Peyton Malone from Channel 4, WWL-TV, your local weather expert. I believe told us they had an inch and a half of rain in the Irish Channel. It fell in about a half an hour this morning. So be aware of that. No word from the city yet on neutral ground parking. I guess they're monitoring that. And the Saints have moved their practice inside today. That means no fans. So if you had tickets, sorry, that's not going to happen today. Louisiana's getting $134 million from the federal government. And that's going to lead to better roads and bridges in the state. Lord knows we need them. Dr. Sean Wilson joins us now, the Secretary of the Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. Good morning, Dr. Wilson. How are you?
I'm well, Tommy. Good morning to you.
Let me start with the Belchase Bridge, since, you know, I live in Belchase, and I know they got a new traffic pattern starting today. I don't know what that pattern's going to be. How is construction going on that bridge?
Well, construction is actually moving along extremely well. All the permits are complete, and last I checked, they were right on schedule, and you should see some progress. I would be surprised if they continued the movement, the traffic movement today, given the weather conditions, but, you know, depending on the specifics and what they're seeing on the ground, they'll make that call.
So the plan is to close the tunnel, is that right, and then have the bridge going while they work on the second part of the bridge?
So the traffic movement for today, if I'm not mistaken, is a temporary move. We're not at the point to permanently close the tunnel.
Okay.
We're actually going to get the bridge completely built before we begin that traffic move from the tunnel and the bridge onto the new structure.
Tell me about the other money Louisiana's getting. Where are we getting this $134 million from, and how are you deciding where to spend it?
So, great question. You may remember the excitement back in November when the bipartisan infrastructure law passed. That law created several new programs, and this program is one of the new ones, and it's a program that, quite frankly, I believe that Senator Cassidy and Congressman Carter, who voted for the bill, actually helped craft. And this was around resilience. When you think about the weather we're having today, if it continues like this for the next 5 or 6 hours, there'll be underpasses, there'll be stretches of roadway that will go underwater. And when that happens, it's extremely unsafe. They're impassable. And, of course, it contributes to the deterioration of the road. So with this $134 million, which was a part of that overall bill, you know, it was a multi-billion-dollar piece of legislation, trillion-dollar piece of legislation on highways. We're getting billions of dollars across the country. And so we're going to use this $134 million in a number of ways. Historically, we've had about 2 to 3 miles of road elevations that we would do. We highlighted a project with the Deputy Secretary, Polly Trottenberg, on Sunday. You saw in the paper on Monday, we looked at two bridges on I-10 where the bridge girders were actually sitting in brackish water. Mm. And you should know that in those girders are steel, mm-hmm. and that steel will start to deteriorate and weaken, which could lead to an ultimate collapse or failure of the bridge. And when it's time to inspect it, It's more costly if we have to have underwater divers as opposed to being able to inspect it on site. And so that's a very difficult process. So that's an example of the types of projects. Not only will we elevate roads, but we're going to perhaps elevate some bridges as well. We're going to harden some of the coastal areas potentially. And then one that's really important to me is that most of the pumping capacity that we have for low-lying areas, they have pump capacity from 1960 looking 30 years ahead to 1990. And here we are in 2022, and we're still pumping with 1960s technology or 1970s technology. And so I'm more interested in saying we've got a number of arterials and interstate corridors that have old pumping systems that we could manage more water if the system was modernized. And so, you know, clearly that is an operational issue. It's a safety issue. It's a cost issue. And that's what these dollars will be used for.
Is that in the New Orleans area, doctor, or throughout the state when you're talking about these pumping? I'm a little bit confused. I'm talking about a pumping station. This is a pump that does what?
So this is, so if you have an underpass, for example, you may have a pump at the Harvey Canal in the tunnel. You may have a pump at an underpass on Carrollton or on Clearview. And water congregates at its lowest point. It's going to reach its equilibrium. So it's going to go down into that under area, and it may start to pool. We have pump capacity that's designed to accept that water and pump it to another location so it can enter the drainage system. If that pump capacity is only producing X number of CFUs, think about what it's going to be, if you're doing 100 CFSs, but you really need to be at 250 because we're seeing more water, more rain, more effects of climate change, it's going to take a lot longer for 100 CFS than it would for 250 CFS, so we can get that road open sooner rather than later. And these are projects all across the state.
He's talking cubic feet per second here is what the secretary's talking about. But I guess what I'm wondering, are you telling me that the improvements will come to the areas that always flood New Orleans, like the, I think it's at 610, where is it, on Canal Boulevard, and there's another one on Carrollton? Well, Canal Boulevard wouldn't be a state highway, would it?
That would not be a state highway, but you are correct. And so I toured a project yesterday that created bioswales. While they can't solely guarantee expedited drainage, they can help manage that. So we are going to be looking at projects, and just like on the roads that we know that flood, we know where those habitual flooding locations are. The question is, what is the answer? Is it just an elevation? Is it a pumping system that needs to be modernized? Does it need a bridge as opposed to a roadway if it's on a section? So, you know, you tie that in with culvert replacement and better maintenance, all of that's going to help. You could potentially look at doing everything from water gauges to make sure that we are tracking and aware when our streams and bodies of water are going to be elevating. While that might be traditionally a coastal issue in terms of CPRA or natural resources, we could potentially invest in some of that if it produces resilience in our system. And that basically means hardening our system and building it better to make sure that we don't relive perhaps that same flooding situation that we had before.
When it comes to bridges in the state, I think a lot of us tend to think of bridges, you know, like the Twin Spans or the Causeway or the Crescent City Connection or something like that. But we have God knows how many bridges in this state over little canals and so forth and other things, do we not?
Yes, we do. We've got over 12,600, if I'm not mistaken. My numbers may be off, but I know it's upwards of 12,000. And you are correct that we've got those big bridges. We, in fact, have the largest or the third largest bridge deck area in the country, meaning if it's an elevated portion of highway on structure and it's larger than perhaps two segments, it's going to be considered a bridge. And so we are the third largest, which means we've got a lot of water and we have a lot of bridges, and it's more expensive to maintain those bridges. And you're correct. Not only will we be doing resilience-type work that might lead to managing water and its impact or disruptions, I also have an additional $1 billion over the next 5 years that's going to be used for bridges. And so there's some capacity to do bridges in both categories, but it really depends on why the bridge is being done. So in one bridge program, if it's not in poor condition, it might be eligible in this resilience program for elevating. So you take those bridges on I-10. They were not necessarily in really bad shape. They were on their way to bad shape because of the issues of how we were able to inspect and operate it. And so in a resilience package, we can actually improve a bridge that's not failing yet because of the resilience factor to prevent it from failing on the front end. And that's something we've not been able to do in the past because of our limited resources.
Are you up to date, the department, on inspection of all these bridges? Do you have the budget to do that?
We actually do. We have an ongoing effort to inspect bridges all across the state. We have a comprehensive bridge inventory. And in fact, I think we were in the top 10 states that received special bridge money. And that bridge money was based on formula, not just in terms of the volume of bridges, but the condition of those bridges and the ability to document those bridges. And that's where our bridge inspection program, I think, is super fantastic, because we've got inspectors at the local level in districts. We've got statewide inspectors for certain bridges. And then the really big bridges like the Huey P. Long Bridge or the 310 Bridge, some of the major infrastructure elements crossing the Mississippi, for example, we've got several retainer contracts that we use experts who specialize in just those complex structures to maintain them. And so we do maintain that, not just for the bridges we own, but also for local roads as well.
What's the situation with the Baton Rouge Bridge over the Mississippi River? I don't know how it ended up or where that situation stands.
And you're referring to the new bridge in Baton Rouge?
Yeah.
So we're actually midway in our process. We're actually culminating what's called advanced planning, and then we're going to be entering immediately into 2 years of environmental studies. The work that was done in advanced planning actually folds into the environmental work. We've actually narrowed it down to three locations that we're going to investigate. And when you go through an environmental process without getting too far into the weeds, it's basically a funnel. And so we've now narrowed that funnel from all of the possibilities between Ascension and the Horace Wilkerson and Baton Rouge to three specific locations that connect LA-1 to LA-30. Simultaneously, we're looking at those corridors on LA-1 and LA-30, and we're just getting started with that piece. So we expect to have what's called a record of decision in 2 years, and that record of decision is what allows us to begin spending federal money on construction or project delivery, design right away, and ultimately construction. And that project, I think, is going to be transformative for that area. And it's also going to impact the other surface streets as well in and around Baton Rouge, going to and from the southern eastern part of the state out to the western parts of the state along the interstate system.
Doc, I think you know me, Dr. Sean Wilson, Secretary of Louisiana Department of Transportation Development. I think you know me well enough to know what my next question is going to be, don't you?
Oh, give it to me.
Is it going to be a toll bridge across the... I met Dr. Wilson for the first time at a Belchase town hall meeting about the new bridge years and years ago. But is it going to be a public-private partnership?
Yes, and okay. Here's why, Tommy. That bridge is going to be in excess of $2 billion and add another $1 billion for the approaches. And we do not have the capacity to just pay for that in the form of traditional infrastructure. And so we believe the way of the future is an all-of-the-above approach. When I say we, the governor and I, as well as other transportation professionals and engineers and experts in this business, even the federal government has started to incentivize and come up with tools that you can develop toll projects, because otherwise we will not build it and it'll get more expensive over time. Had we built this bridge 15 years ago, 20 years ago when we needed it, you'd have been somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 million. This 30-year wait has cost us a tremendous amount of money, but the need never goes away. And much like what we talked about in Plaquemine, while we don't like tolls, if we had a way to pay for it, we would, but we don't. And so not giving people what they need and deserve and ask for is not an acceptable answer. And so we've got a couple of corridors. That bridge is going to be a toll bridge, as is the Calcasieu River Bridge. And we are 2 years into a public-private partnership procurement on that structure. That bridge alone is $1 billion in Lake Charles. And then the rest of the project is going to cost another $700-800 million. I've got a $1 billion project in the city of Lafayette for 5 miles. I got another $3 billion going south on I-49 to connect to New Orleans. I've got $1 billion in Shreveport for either a throughput or a loop around it.
Hey, doctor, let me jump in real quick before we run out of time, because the text line's blowing up here with questions about the West Pearl Bridge on Highway 90. You know anything about that?
I know a lot about that. That bridge and that corridor, it's got three bridges that are all in horrible shape. They've had to close two of them, and the challenge is I could spend a lot of money opening one and you still not be able to pass it. And we're looking at about a $90 million investment for that footprint, and we're going to be working with legislators. We've started to schedule meetings with them to talk about solutions. The reality is time is of essence, and right now it's closed. The reality is within the part that's closed, there's an acceptable, and I know people don't like this, but there's an acceptable detour of about 6 miles or 7 miles on one side, about 5 miles or 12 miles on the other to get to Pearlington. And that detour is shorter than detours that we've had within the state of Louisiana for closures that we've got. But it's a $90 million project. I've got about $300 billion in unmet needs just on $3 billion, I'm sorry, on bridges across the state. And
Thank you, Doc.
That we're getting, we can't concentrate just in one area.
Thank you, sir. We're out of time. Our pleasure as always. You have to come back, all right?
All right. Happy
you have
to
a safe
it,
day.
Thank you, sir.
Sean Wilson, Secretary of DOTD. Newell's next. We'll see what he's got coming up for us on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.